So we talk about presents at Christmas, and there's sort of the absurd. And then as we talk about gifts to each other, and as Jeff brought up, it is the season where we give, and we give because we've been given, and all of that. But at some level, too, right, we say, well, Christmas, many of us, maybe all of us in our life at one point or another, have either said or thought, you know, Christmas in its essence really isn't about the gift giving exactly, that there's something more than the wrapping paper and the box and the sweater or whatever the thing is. And so we've chosen here in this month to do a series where we talk about the idea of light. And that Christmas really, and in the specific words are there as well as the symbolism, you know, that Christmas really is about the light of God coming into our lives. And so we've called it the four lights. And it's not so much like this sort of a present, it's almost like a camera flash, you know? It's like blink and then it's gone. But that God's presence isn't like a camera flash at all. That God's presence is an enduring presence, and God's light is an enduring light. And and at Christmas is not the first time that the light of God entered the world, but it's the first time that God entered the world as light in the form of a human. And that's the essence of what we celebrate at Christmas. And so I want to talk with you about that concept and talk about the enduring light that brings enlightenment to who we are, to our thinking, to our minds, to our hearts, that leads hopefully to recognizing who God is as well. So I want to take you down that journey just here for a little bit of time this morning. And as we do that, and thinking about light, and I'm going to tell you about three different words that are going to be part of that, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want to tell you who the light is for. The light is for those who are lonesome, because the light isn't some vague physical force. It reacts as a wave and as a particle and physics kind of stuff. Light is he. The light is for the lonesome. The light is for the worrisome. You may be in one of those today. The light is for the troubled. The light is for those who recognize they have darkness in their lives. So just to give you a way to think about that, we're talking this morning especially about this moment, this time when heaven opens up and gives us its best. Not in this vague way, but in God himself. And we're going to get to see how two people respond. That when heaven opens up, how two people respond, and along the way, maybe learn how we can respond as well. So we're going to look at the Bible, the two people, Joseph and Mary. And you might have heard about them along the way, but we still want to read and get the specifics of how heaven opened up to them. So let me invite you to stand where you are, and I'm going to read it out loud. And as I read it, you can follow along. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then, whoosh, then the angel left her. Go ahead and be seated, and we'll talk about this a little bit. What did Mary know? how much did she understand, right, is one of those questions that we might have. Like, did she get all of it? Did she know all of the prophecy that had been written hundreds of years before that was becoming true? We ask that kind of question. What did she know in that moment? She knew some things for sure. She knew that some of what she had heard was coming true, but did she know all of that? Did she know everything? There's no way she could know everything. There's no way. But not knowing everything didn't keep her from believing anything. The fact that she didn't know everything and couldn't explain all things didn't keep her from believing anything. Some things she knew and she believed. In the passage, the angel comes to her 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. We talked about her last week, and we'll talk about this idea of being pledged to be married to a man, Joseph. I'll tell you about that in just a minute. God shows up to her in the form, or angel, I should say, shows up to her, and the angel shows up, and you know how angels show up? It's like, I think there's like an angel school in heaven, where God gets them all together and goes, look, you guys, when you show up to those people, they're going to be freaked out. All right? The very first thing you always say is, don't be afraid. Because you know what? Those humans, they're not used to seeing the power of God displayed the way the power of God is present through the angels, through you guys, he would say. So make sure those are the first words. So the angel gives her those first words. And she's a highly favored one. And the kind of the root of that phrase is, as the angel shows up and says, you're a highly favored, is the idea that grace is poured on you. Grace is, you know, grace, right? Some of you will say grace. You'll sit down to your Christmas table with your family, and they may be a very faithful family and a very spiritual family, or they may be they may have been yelling and screaming at each other 2 minutes before. But then we say, all right, who's going to say grace? And the reason they do that, we do that, is to recognize God's goodness because of the meal that we have in front of us. Grace, that kind of the root of that idea is recognizing God's goodness. It's the same root that when it says highly favored one, that God is pouring his goodness out on you. God is opening heaven and he's pouring his goodness out onto you. And she doesn't quite understand all of it, but she understands some things for sure. She's getting ready to marry Joseph, thinking about the future. Her mom's teaching her everything that she needs to be taught to set up a home, to run a home, to, you know, take care of everything that needs to be taken care of in the home. She's in training during this time, and all the things that she's going to need to have a successful marriage. And then this happens. This angel shows up and says, heaven is opening for you. Heaven is opening for you, Mary. The angel says, verse 30, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child. You have birthed to a son. You give him the name Jesus. He'll be great. Somewhere through this, I think this is what happened. She went like this. She was like, I think that's what happened. So I need you to, this is a participatory time in the service. Okay. Everybody ready? There's three steps, right? Right. Okay. Are you ready? Do you have it? You have it back there? Okay. Here we go. Ready? Step one, everybody with me. Then step two, step three. Some of you are a little rebellious. You're like, I don't want to do that. But you got to understand, that is what happened, okay? For Mary, it's like, she's just shocked. And probably a while later, she realized, oh, my mouth is open. I'm here in front of an angel. This is shocking news. Unbelievably shocking news for her. Angel shows up. God is coming to earth. Verse 31, you'll be with child, give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Jesus, and then starts describing this boy that she's going to have. You're going to have a boy. You don't get to name him, but here's what people will call him. Son of the Most High. And we don't get that idea, Son of the Most High, that's in this passage. What they're saying is, he's exactly like his dad. That's what they're saying. When they say Son of the Most High, you're saying it's not like Son who came from. Like I have a son, a son of Eric. It's like, well, yeah, but, you know, he's taller and he's, you know, bigger, stronger, smarter, who knows what else. That's not how they, when they say, no, he is his father. When they say, use this idea, son. Shock, trying to figure it out. And then he goes even further. He'll give him the throne of his father, David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob. And there's a whole symbolism, prophecy piece to that. His kingdom will never end. It's a lot to grab for Mary, and it's a lot to grab maybe even for us. But it's this. Heaven is going to open up, and one is going to come who's going to deliver the people. That God is going to come from heaven, and he's not just going to be for his people and not just to lead his people, but to save and deliver and heal and bring light to his people. That's heaven opening up. So she has the question, how is this going to happen? How am I going to have this child? How does this work? I know how it works with two humans, but how are you going to pull this off? And so the angel describes it. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And he doesn't give us all the explanation. He doesn't explain the physics of miracles. See that? It's not there, but that doesn't change the reality of the miracle. I'd love to explain it to you, and we can talk a little bit theology about overshadowing and the Holy Spirit and some of those things in it. But at the end, you know what we'd say? We'd say, you know, it's a miracle because God did a miracle. And the fact that we can't explain the physics doesn't mean that it doesn't change the reality of it taking place. Nothing is impossible with God. Even old lady Elizabeth is having a baby, right? Part of almost the humor of it, I think, in there. See, God was opening up heaven and giving gifts. That's what God was doing. God's opened up heaven and giving gifts. And the most important part of his gift is his presence. So Mary responds. Look at how she responds. Verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary responded. May it be to me as you have said. See, in the face of heaven opening, in the face of a message from God, Mary opens her heart and her life. Right? In the face of heaven opening and saying, here's the gift that I'm giving to you. That light is not going to come in some vague metaphysical or physical sort of a way, but in the form of a Savior to come to the people to bring hope and bring peace by his presence. She says, okay. When heaven opens, Mary opens and says, okay. Mary says, yes. She says, yeah, I'll open my heart to him, to whatever he wants, and in this case, to his plan. Right? Mary opens her heart to his plan. She says, okay, if this is what God wants, okay. If this is what God wants, then I'm the Lord's servant. You know what? Okay. I'm going to open my heart to God's plan, because that's where the blessing is. I'm going to open my heart to God's plan. My heart to God's plan, because that's where the blessing is. That's what Mary does. She didn't know everything. She knew God was up to something. So imagine if you and I were like this. You and I said, I don't understand all this, but I think God is up to something. And you know what? I'm willing to go with his plan. Because that's where the blessing is. Yeah, there's a certain self-centeredness to it. I'll grant you that. But there's a certain self-centeredness to everything we do. And we need God. And if he has opened heaven to us through Jesus, then our response, our example from Mary, is to open ourselves to say, okay, to his plan. And you may not think all of what you're experiencing is part of God's plan. I understand that, and that frustration, and how to sort that out, and how to make sense of that. But there's some things you know that you've even said in your head. You've said, well, I guess this was God's plan. And you still said, but I'm not sure that I'm open to it. See, Mary says, when you come to the point where you say, I guess this was God's plan, Mary shows us how to respond. Lord God, I know there's some vague areas in your life. You're not sure if that's really God's plan or if, you know, look, this horrible sin happened. That was not part of God's plan. Okay, I can tell you that. But there's some things where you say, well, I guess this is where God has me. And that's what we say when we're not quite sure. Well, I guess this is where God has me. Yeah, that's his plan. So if this is where God has you, and that is his plan, if he's opened up that plan or that path to you or for me, then to say, okay. If that's what you have opened up for me, then I'll walk down that path. I'll walk into that plan. We got to talk about Joseph. Joseph goes through this whole thing too. It's a little bit of a different response. I won't read the whole thing for you, but I will read some of it for you. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Remember that? But before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He cared. He had compassion on her. Because he was righteous, right? Righteous and right and holy doesn't leave to, I'm going to create disgrace and insult to someone. He says, she's pregnant. I don't know how it happened, but she's pregnant. She says it's God. 4 miles away, Roman outpost, Roman soldiers. Maybe she liked a guy in uniform. I don't know. But that is a reality of the story. What happened? I don't know what happened. All I know is it wasn't me, right? And you can imagine the frustration, because he was thinking too, I'm going to get married. We're going to have a couple kids. I'm a carpenter. They'll be carpenters. We'll make some tables together, right? Be like Joseph and Sons. Yeah? You see the sign out in front of the business? Right, and he's going to make tools for them. Then he's going to hand them their tools on their day that they become. Right, all these things are part of it. That's what you think about. All this is together, and then here she shows up. Confusion. So this pledge to be married thing, you should get that straight. The way they thought of engagement was like this. I have a 3-year-old. Girl, and you have a 3-year-old boy, and we're really good friends. Wouldn't it be great if they got married together? Like when they grow up. Not yet, of course, right? But when they're adults, wouldn't it be great to match make, you know? And anybody who's a parent has thought that and even said that maybe at times. And I've offered for people, the families, to be like, yeah, you want to make a deal right now? You know, and be like, what kind of an offer? I'm fielding offers. What kind of offer are you going to make? Just for fun. But for them, it was more than fun. They would actually make arrangements. And so when they would make the arrangement, and then when the kids get old enough, they still have to choose. But the parents would be involved, because they said, really, when teenagers are getting married, we don't want to trust that to, adolescents making lifelong decisions or hormones, right? So they would be involved, but at some point, each of them had to make the commitment together. They could break off that engagement until they had made the commitment together to get married, and then it became a legal and binding arrangement. What we would call married, honestly. Joseph and Mary, they had made that legal and binding arrangement. So when Joseph says, well, I'll just give her a divorce over here. You know, we're not going to make a big deal out of it. I can tell the whole city if I want to, because that's what people do. But I'm not a what people do kind of person. You know, I'm not going to smear it all over Facebook and everywhere else. You know what? We're just going to change my status. OK, that is truly the equivalent. He says, I'm just going to change my status. It's heartbreaking. It's painful. But that's the reality, is we were, you know, we had a legal arrangement to be married. They hadn't started living together and sleeping together and all the things that we would consider in the married life, but the legal part had already been completed. So Joseph's trying to be kind. I imagine him saying, really, why did this happen? You ever said that? Why did this happen? Ever been confused? Ever feel like I don't even know. I don't understand. I don't know what God is doing. I don't understand what he's doing. And you're Joseph. I have no idea what he's doing. I don't know what's going on. This is not my plan. This is not what I wanted to happen. Then you're like Joseph. Confused. Couldn't figure it out. But heaven opens up for Joseph too. Heaven opens up for confused people. He had no idea that God was involved. Right? Yet. We'll see it. But he had no idea. He wasn't going to disgrace her, embarrass her. He's going to show compassion on her while doing what's right. And then heaven opens up. Verse 20. After he had considered this, divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." See, Joseph is, he doesn't know what's going on. He's in the midst of this sort of dizzying life is, you know how life gets getting dizzy where it's like almost you can be nauseous? Dizziness leads to nausea. And right in the middle of all that, the angel shows up and says, "You know what? God is in this. Heaven has opened up for you right here and is inviting you into the plan that he has. God is revealing himself." Probably she had a normal pregnancy. Probably she had eventually had a normal delivery. See, but what Joseph needed, right? He needed to experience God. Heaven is opening up for him. And he needed to open up himself to God as well. And he has the same thing in that he needed to experience God. Part of it was what Mary got, the plan. But the other piece for him, I think, is the word peace. I think that's partly what he, because if you're afraid and fearful and confused and all of that, just knowing that God has some plan, the result of that is not that you always know the whole plan, but just knowing that he has some plan then can bring peace. And I think that's part of what Joseph experienced when he opened his heart up. It wasn't just for the plan. He got some of that, but I think it was also the peace that God wanted to give him as well. And that, of course, may be something that you're here and you need also. So the sun's beginning to shine. Joseph's beginning to think there's a plan. He's beginning to have hope. The light of God is beginning to shine. And he's thinking, okay. God has some plan for me. I sense God working here. And I'm even experiencing some sense of God's peace in my life. But probably still in shock. You know, the passage goes on and talks about God not just being for us and not God just being near us, but the idea that Jesus coming to earth to be born is God with us, taken to a whole other level. Verse 22, it says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. See, when heaven opened and showed God's plan. Heaven opened and they experience God's peace. Heaven opened and they experience God's presence through Jesus. That's Christmas right there. Plan, peace, presence. That's when the light of God enters someone's life. Those are the things that God brings. But it has to be met with an open heart. Verse 24, look what he did. When Jesus woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He said, "Okay, if this is your plan, I'm going with it." But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph said, "All right, this is your plan, I'm going to go with it. If this is what you have, what this is in your design, I'm going to stay in your plan. I'm going to stay in your path." See, this is what God does. He meets people right where they are, with right what they need. He meets them right where they are to give them just what they need. Not watching from a distance, hoping it works out. And he meets people in confusion. He meets people in desolation. He meets people in boredom. See, his presence brings peace. His presence brings his plan. We have the communion tables up today. And so we're bringing together the birth of Jesus right here and the death of Jesus right here. These are the bookends of Jesus' life. Because remember what the angel said? He will save people from their sins. He's going to be born, and then he's going to save people from their sins. And so we wanted to celebrate that with you here too. Where we celebrate communion, we have the crackers representing his body, is the juice, grape juice, representing his blood. Because it representing that the bookends of his life was God entering history, entering humanity, and then God dying for all of humanity, Jesus himself. And then the celebration really of this is remembering that he not only died, but that he rose again. So that he could continue through all eras, all ages, to be God with us, God with you and God with me. So that's why we celebrate this. But this is a celebration of already receiving Jesus to be God with you. That's what this is. If you haven't done that, then this is just crackers and juice. And it's not very much. It's not very filling. It's not very flavorful. But if you have done that, then you say, I'm already filled and I've already experienced it, and I'm going to celebrate this because he's with me. I don't know where you are in your understanding. I have had a great experience with my cousin here a couple of years ago. I shared it with you, but I want to share it with you again. We do this family party every year. It's like 60 of us. And like 50 of them are relatives, like, you know, by marriage or blood or whatever. And so grandmother does it, rents a tent, chairs and tables. We play Skip-Bo, the card game. I don't know if you play that. It's like, I don't know what it's like, but it's just a card game where you have numbers and you build stacks. And at the end, you win. And I don't usually win things. Well, I did win last week at our little guy's poker thing, but don't want to bring that up. But we're playing this big game against all the relatives. A couple of years ago, my cousin looks... I'm sitting there. I'm playing a 10-year-old. She's over here. She's like about my age, and she's, I don't know, playing a 8-year-old. Everybody plays in the family. And then the prize is like, there's like cash prizes, and it's like a big deal. So we're, you know, we're there playing, and I'm playing this kid. I have no problem taking the 10-year-old down. Okay? This is not, oh, let them win. They'll have their chance to win. All right? They need to earn it. I'm not really that harsh, but really, and they're like, wow, what happened to Christmas spirit and giving? This one year, we're sitting across from each other, and we're joking about the, you know, she's got an 8-year-old, I got a 10-year-old, and, you know, we're winning, and my grandmother, by the way, she calls me Jesus. I used to have really long hair, well, really long for me anyway, it was this long. I cut it like 7 or 8 years ago, but I think she sort of still sees me that way. So I walk in, she's like, hey, Jesus, and I don't know how to respond to that, you know, anyway, doesn't matter. But what does matter is I'm sitting there, some of those random things, you know, come in. Anyway, I'm sitting there with my cousin, and we're talking, and she says, I want to tell you something. And I said, it sounds like a confession, you know, right in the middle of the Skip-Bo tournament. And she says, well, it kind of is. I'm like, oh. She says, when I was in elementary school, I went to a Christian school. And I cheated. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, she's, I don't know how, somewhere around 50 by now. So she goes, yeah, I cheated. I'm like, really? She says, yeah, I cheated on a test. I'm like, wow, no kidding. What was the test about? God. I'm like, wow. So we're laughing, you know, it's kind of just funny. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I sat down for the test, and she was in, you know, third grade or something like that. And I sat down for the test, And I looked at the question. I just blanked. And so I looked over at my friend's paper. And I saw the word string bean. And so I wrote them on my paper. I'm like, okay. I don't know. I mean, people have different concepts of God, right? Vegetables, whatever. Anyway, so she turns the paper in and she gets it back and she realized that, well, she got it wrong. And she realized, because as she looked over at the paper and read the question again, she realized it was another name for God. Supreme Being. Not string bean. Yeah, so I received her confession. I said, okay, it's okay. But I tell you that to think about concepts of God. Because this is the time where you're going to encounter people who have all kinds of concepts of God. And they probably won't refer to him as a vegetable. That's a little maybe extreme. But they'll refer to him in all kinds of ways. And you have to come back to this story to get it really, really clear. Right? This is Jesus, God himself, who loves you, who has a plan for you, who wants to impart peace to you in the angst and anxiety that you have right this second. And this is Jesus who wants, if you'll let him, wants to be present in your life. Yes, to save you from your sins, to earn you forgiveness before God, that's permanent. That's the last bookend of his life on this earth, but it's not the last bookend of the story. It's Jesus who came back alive to become eternal so he can be eternally present with you and what you need. So you may not understand everything about God, but don't let what you don't know confuse what you do know. Don't let what you don't know confuse what you need. See, Joseph and Mary, if anything, when heaven opened for them, they opened their hearts to receive what God wanted to give them. So I'm going to invite you to open your heart to invite this song that we sing, for heaven to come down, so to speak. So let me invite you to pray with me. And I invite you to do whatever helps you focus. For me, I close my eyes. It's your deal. But maybe that's of help. And maybe of these things, maybe you want to ask Jesus to help you see his plan, because it's foggy to you and you don't understand it all. He may send you an angel. He may not. I don't know that he will. But maybe in some way he'll reassure you. Maybe in some way, when you're that decision you're troubled by, maybe in some way he will show you, or at least assure you that there is one in this moment. Maybe what you really want is peace in this moment. So ask him. Tell him, Jesus, please give me peace in this moment. I want peace this season in the midst of the Christmas insanity. Help me to experience your peace, even if the situation that I'm in doesn't change. And then last is about his presence. Maybe you've never invited his presence in your life. This is your moment to do that. Like this, Jesus, come into my life. That's your prayer. And then Jesus, pray that prayer right now. Jesus, come into my life. And then pray, Jesus, I'm ready to receive you and open my heart to you. And then say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, we come to you, all of us together. Some of us to say, come into our lives for the first time. And then Jesus, some of us, you've already heard our prayer, even as I described it. Lord Jesus, some of us, our prayer has already been here. Boy, I do need peace about things because I have way too much stress and anxiety. And so we understand you, Jesus, to be this Prince of Peace. Peace between us and you, and peace that springs up inside of us. And some of us just want to experience that in a more powerful way, in a deeper way. And we're ready to open our hearts to you. So we pray, will you bring the peace that we need? Will you infuse us with that from your Spirit? Jesus, we don't reach out to you as a concept. We reach out to you as God, as us in need, to open our hearts to you. And at this time, in this Christmas, in this moment, in Jesus' name, amen.